Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and just ask that you would bless your word this morning, and just ask that you would minister to us. Love you, and just want to listen to you this morning. In your name, Jesus, pray, amen. For my talk, my sharing time this morning, I want to call it, We Do Not Lose Heart. It is great to be here with you this morning. I can say because of the pandemic, it's by God's mercies and that His grace that I'm here with you today. I have probably prayed more about this trip than any of my other trips home in the summertime. And I also want to say hi from Sasha Zebra and his wife Yulia and other Ukrainian staff, Sasha Nira Zalewski, Yurik Agenko and my team. Everyone says hi, sends their greetings, and wish that they could be here. But so it is such a pleasure and a privilege to be here. Peninsula Bible Fellowship plays a big role in my life, and as we're singing worship this morning, I was also getting a little emotional. And I also want to let you know that usually I watch the online service on Monday because the service starts at 10 o'clock in the evening for me in Ukraine, so I watch it on Monday. But I very much enjoy Noah and the worship, and also enjoy Bob's teaching. And so it's amazing. You know, in the past you could listen, but I enjoy like the work that Ted does and having it be live streamed. And so it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, and like I said, just by God's mercies here. And I want to say, we all know that right now we live in unique times. It's our time period, the last 6 months, very unique. It doesn't matter if you live in Alaska or if you live in Ukraine, we have gone through and are going through a very stressful time period these last 6 months. The coronavirus has turned our world upside down, and for a time period, probably you could only meet online as a church. The church that I go to in Ukraine has only been meeting online. It started meeting in person 2 weeks before my trip, but I said to not go. It's like, let's be careful before my trip. And probably a lot of you have also probably felt feelings of isolation, loneliness. You haven't been able to see your family members. My mom has two sisters that live in Minnesota, and one lives in a rest home, and the other sister goes and visits. But she has to call from outside, and to even make the phone call, she has to wear a face mask. Even though she's standing outside a window, she has to wear a face mask. And so all these things for you, whether it's only being able to meet online, not be able to see each other's faces and smiles, all of it is heavy, I know, on your heart and my heart. The quarantine started in Ukraine, just like here. It started in mid-March. Trains stopped working between the cities, and the transportation within Kiev also stopped. And that's how I go places, public transportation, but it stopped. And only grocery stores, banks, clinics, and pharmacies were open. Schools went on to online mode. And so whether teachers, parents, or students were ready or not, everyone went into online mode, which is probably no different than here. And Sasha Zebra, who you've met before, he and his wife, overnight basically, had to change their life so they could basically help their kids with online distance learning for three of their boys. And one of my teammates, he and his wife, they have four boys between the ages of 8 and 12. And all of a sudden, they had to get devices and help them to adjust to sitting in front of a screen. Then also one of my other teammates, he and his wife, they live in an apartment building. And they had to learn how to have their children be in the apartment with him all day. And so for all of us, we've been going through a hard time period the last 6 months. And for like my teammates and Sasha, not only as they had to get adjusted to their kids' online learning, but they had to help them stay on using the program Zoom. You know, they'd get disconnected. And also, in early February, the student minister in Ukraine, we had a student conference, a youth conference in Kiev, and there was probably about 350 people. And so we began to make plans how God could, what was God doing, how we could work with all these people. And then overnight, our world, just like your world, changed. And there are many times, my teammates, I'm going to say, we were like, what do we do next? We're ready to lose heart. And also as part of this, in mid-March, all the flights into Ukraine and out of Ukraine were canceled. I thought, oh, they'll start working. No big deal. They'll start working, and I'll be able to go home to Alaska in June as usual. Well, those couple of weeks turned into a few months. And but finally, in mid-July, flights did start working into the country and out, but very sporadic and unreliable. And so, but finally God worked it out that I could come in September, and I'll go back to Ukraine. I'll leave October 1st. And but one of the things that I was worried about during, especially during the quarantine and the pandemic, was maybe making some emotional decisions that would impact my future. Because I was thinking, you know, my mom's, she'll be 83 in September, or it is September, September 20th. And so, but I'm thinking, I want to be able to go home and see my mom as I usually do in June. And so there's this tension within me of wanting to be able to show love to my family, but at the same time knowing I love the ministry in Ukraine. And so there's just this tension within me, and I was afraid that maybe I'd make some emotional decision that if there was no quarantine, I wouldn't make. And so there's this tension in me, and thinking, you know, God, help me to be faithful and persistent and not to lose heart and not to, not to lose heart. And so I want to share with you some thoughts from the Apostle Paul on not losing heart. And so we'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just a second. Yeah, so we'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And also, as we do this, I want to also share about how God has helped us in Ukraine not to lose heart, and but to serve him effectively, continue to serve him effectively. And in chapter 4, let me read verses 16 through 18 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore we do not despair, but even if our physical body is wearing away, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light suffering is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Because we are not looking at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Let me read also verse 1. In verse 1 of chapter 4. Verse 1, the Apostle Paul also says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, just as God has shown us mercy, we do not become discouraged." So Paul says, we do not become discouraged, we do not lose heart. Says that in verse 1, then he repeats it in verse 16. So I want us to remind ourselves that the Apostle Paul has the authority as an apostle to say this, but he also has the moral authority. His life gives him the authority to say these things, not to lose heart, don't give up, don't be discouraged. And usually in our lives, if we're going through a difficult time, we're much more apt to listen to someone who's gone through the same problem before us, as opposed to someone who has maybe heard about the read about it, maybe has just head knowledge. We're much more willing to listen to their advice when it's someone who's gone through the experience. And the Apostle Paul, he's gone through a lot of experiences that give him the moral authority, not just authority as an apostle, to say, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, don't give up. And so he has that, not only authority as an apostle, but the moral authority. And so now I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23, 28, and we'll see what were some of those things that the Apostle Paul went through in his life. I'll read it. Verses 23 through 28. Are they servants of Christ? I'm talking like I'm out of my mind. I am even more so, with much greater labors, with far more imprisonments, with more severe beatings, facing death many times. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. 1 I received a stoning. 3 I suffered shipwreck. 1 night and 1 day I spent adrift in the open sea. Have been on journeys many times, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, in dangers from my own countrymen, in dangers from Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the wilderness, in dangers at sea, in dangers from false brothers, in hard work and toil, through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, many times without food, and cold and without enough clothing. Apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxious concern for all the churches. And so we see this, the Apostle Paul, like I said, he has a moral authority to say, don't lose heart, don't be discouraged. He 5 times received 39 lashes. 3 times he's beaten with rods. 1 time he was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Can you imagine being out in the Cook Inlet, being shipwrecked? Like, I can't. Adrift at the sea for day and a night. Frequent journeys. Jay and his wife, they just made a journey up. In danger from rivers, crossing the rivers, robbers, and sleepless nights. And it's also interesting how he mentioned he is often misunderstood and slandered by other believers. And so not only were there these physical pressures on him, but emotional, spiritual pressures. And also interesting, he had the pressure on him because of his concern for the church. And so here also, you know, each of you have a concern for this church, and there's a concern for it. It also puts pressure on you. And so the question is, how was Paul able not to lose heart? How was he able to carry on? And so how can we continue to serve God and not lose heart or fall into despair during this extremely difficult time? Well, let's look a little further at the scripture, see Paul's answers. And so once again, in verse 1 of chapter 4, verse 16, he says, don't lose heart. Just a second. Yeah, don't lose heart, don't be in despair. And other ways that he could have said that would be, don't fall into despair, don't become despondent, don't become discouraged, dismayed, or don't lose your lack of zeal, don't give up. And it's probably, you know, something that's describing a feeling that would last more than just a day, I'm discouraged. Or he's saying, you know, don't lose heart, don't give up. And in chapter 4, we see some of the reasons that could enable Paul to not lose heart. They gave him hope to carry on. In verse 1, he talks about how he was commissioned for this ministry. And then in verse 14, he mentions, knowing that he would be resurrected from the dead, just as Christ was. And so let me read verse 14. We do so because we know that the one who raised up Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. So knowing that the resurrection is true and that he'd be raised from the dead just as Jesus did was also another reason that gave him hope to carry on and not be discouraged. And then in verse 15, the first part, I think another reason that he did not become despondent or lose heart was for the sake of the church in Corinth. And then also in the second part of verse 15, he said he realized he could carry on because of God's glory, the greatness of God. So let me read verse 15. For all these things are for your sake. So he didn't want to give up because of the sake of the church. And so that the grace that is including more and more people may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. And so he didn't want to give up because he knew of God's greatness and glory. And so I want to say, bringing this back to Ukraine, understanding that we're called to serve the Ukrainian people. I say we, Sasha and Yulia, my teammates, Sasha and Yurik, called that we're serving the Ukrainian people. We realized that God was working in spite of the quarantine. We also realized that we had to give our plans. Like I said, we had 350 people at our student youth conference in early February. So we had to give all our plans and strategies to God and let him give us the new ones. And so we created a online evangelistic materials. And for these materials, there's a program in Russian that's called Yakto, Who Am I? And so we created an online program. Before it was used face-to-face. But these programs, there's three meetings. And in these three meetings, you could get to know a student. But first we put on, through Instagram and Facebook, some advertising to get the attention of students. And they would register. And then we would contact these students, young people, and get back together with them and go through these three meetings. And in each meeting, we'd be able to share the gospel a little more, a little more. And then they're wanting to hear more. So we had to realize, okay, we can't meet face-to-face, but God, what do you want us to do? And he showed us how to create online materials. And so we realized we can't give up. God is doing something special. We need to continue on. And I think you also realize God is continuing on. You remember that God has called you to serve the people in Soldotna, Kasila, Kenai, and so you didn't lose heart. You haven't lost heart during the quarantine. But you've continued to think of ways to serve people. And the church continued on. And I think of how Ted and others, Kay can't meet. Let's do live stream Facebook. And so it's like God gave you ideas how to continue to serve people. And also in verse 16, the Apostle Paul talks about the outer man is decaying. And the outer man, that refers to his physical body, and that it was getting older and breaking down. And think about all the physical and emotional issues that Paul mentioned in chapter 11. The lashes, the beating, the sleeplessness, hunger, pressure because of his concern for the churches, being slandered. I'm sure all of this led to his body aging faster than it should have. And I'm also sure many of you maybe felt like maybe you're aging faster during the last 6 months. Maybe because you haven't been able to see family, just worries and concerns. All these things makes it feel you haven't been able to get out and see people. And so it makes it feel like my outer body is decaying. But I think in all of this, as we realize that we'll have a resurrected body, we'll be resurrected, that God has called us, he's with us, that allows us to continue on. And not to give up, not to lose heart. And then, just a second. In verse 16, there's hope. That even though the outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. So the inner man refers to our soul. And being renewed day by day shows that this is continual. It's not something that happened one time or came to church one Sunday, but it's a continual thing. And during the early days of the quarantine, spending regular time alone with God, and also weekly Zoom prayer meetings with my teammates. So, and before the quarantine, my teammates, we'd get together on a weekly basis for prayer. But once quarantine started, we changed to getting together by Zoom for quarantine for prayer. And also in Ukraine, since staff couldn't meet, we began to have monthly staff meetings, which Sasha Zebrev and others organize. And so it was amazing to see that there are like 100 devices all connected together and seeing people's faces. And that we'd get together for a prayer, maybe small group discussion time. And all this helped us turn our attention from ourselves and remember that God is at work. He is our hope, and not to give up. And so I know there's probably ways that you've thought about besides online, but there are ways that you're able to continue to renew your inner man on a daily basis, whether it's getting together with someone on the phone to pray for each other, or visiting, putting on your mask. But God wants us to spend special time with him every day so that we can renew our inner man. Without daily renewing that inner man through the Holy Spirit, none of us would be able to survive the difficult, challenging times that we've gone through. And verse 17 states, in chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read verse 7. For our momentary light suffering is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. It seems strange for him. It's like, what? Light momentary afflictions? And I think, you know, different issues that the church has dealt with here, and Ted passing away, it's like light momentary afflictions. And yet the Apostle Paul, he can say that, as I mentioned earlier, all the heads of the moral authority. But only a person with a eternal framework can say those words. And I think as we daily spend time with Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, God will create that eternal framework in us. And interesting, in chapter 5, Apostle Paul writes that he'd rather be home with the Lord, but he knows that God has a plan for him here on earth. And so probably many of us also think, you know, God, take me home, or God, bring this quarantine to an end. But he has a special and unique plan for each of us right now. Sometimes we might not know. what is, but just a second here. And then it goes on to say that that momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. It's like, wow, what is this? And so here he states that our trials, it's our trials that produce this glory. And probably each one of us last 6 months have had, you know, different type of trials, but we've all gone through them. Apostle Paul says they're momentary, a light affliction, eternal weight of glory. And he connects those with the verb producing, is causing, is affecting, is preparing. So all those, interesting the verb use that he uses. And so it's these trials, afflictions that bring about glory. And he's also stating that these trials and afflictions are minor when compared to eternity. And so definitely need that daily time with God for him to build into me an eternal perspective. As he builds into me that eternal perspective, I'm not going to make any emotional decisions that I will regret in the future, because I'm spending time with God on a daily basis. And so he also says that this weight of glory rewards, it'll last forever in eternity, and it's beyond comprehension and comparison. And when I think about this, I think about how in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 8:3, how Stephen, his suffering, he is being stoned, and Saul, so Apostle Paul, but at that time still a Saul, he was there watching. He was a witness. He was witnessing the suffering that Stephen went through. And so it's like Stephen's suffering brought about an eternal weight of glory. I'm sure there's probably some type of reward for Stephen, but it also brought about, had an impact on Saul becoming a Christian later on. How could you, because it seems like that was a part of that process of Saul becoming a believer. Mm-hmm. And so, also in verse 18, let me read verse 18. Because we are not looking at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. So verse 18 helps us understand that Paul saw his earthly situation through an eternal perspective. He reminded the readers there, in Corinth, that they need to look at things from an eternal perspective, to look at things that are unseen as opposed to the visible. And because the things that are temporal, visible, are just temporal, whereas the things that are unseen are eternal. And so we need to live life with an eternal perspective, and that'll help us when we're thinking, I'm ready to just give up. We need to come back, spend time daily with God, so that he'll refresh our inner man. And interesting, thinking again back to Stephen being stoned, in verses 54 through 56 of chapter 7, Stephen, you can see that he was able to see the unseen because he lifted his eyes up as he was being stoned. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he saw the glory of God in Jesus. So, once again, I think a lot of that, as we daily spend time with God, that prepares us for those big moments when we think we can't carry on. And I just want to share a couple other things and a little more about Ukraine. During the quarantine in Ukraine, I'm going to say God has given me more opportunities to see life from an eternal perspective. I live in a tall apartment building, a 24-story building. And so there's people that work on the first floor that sort of supposed to watch to make sure who comes in or out. And there's an older lady that was working there. And God had given me opportunities to share with her that God is our only hope. Before the quarantine, I never talked to this lady. But once the quarantine started, I began to talk to her and talk about how only God is our hope. And then there's another staff couple that live in this building. And the wife, she and I, we began to talk with this older couple or this older lady. And now every time usually I see her, we'll talk about what we're reading in the Bible. So I also want to challenge you, who you can think of, who can you impact during this time of quarantine? And so who can you encourage not to give up and not to lose heart during this time? And also, somewhat funny, during the quarantine, I began to do a lot of walking. And often, it wouldn't matter if I'd be walking in the morning, afternoon, or evening, I would see some of the same people. And there's one lady I'd see every time, and no matter what, but her eyes would usually be down. And so I began to think, began to pray, even took a four spiritual laws with me. And I thought, let's just say, Strasvutu, hello, and so break some ice. But then when I did that, that was a mistake. Because then she began to turn her head away from me. But I realized that, okay, let's just pray that God will bring a believer into her life. But I think during this time, the quarantine, that God has brought in opportunities to each of our lives, with that there's people that we can share with, that we can pray for, so that we can help them not to lose heart and not to give up. And one thing that we did in Ukraine, we created some masks. And I have some back on the table. These masks, obviously, they allow you to, in Ukraine, you couldn't go into stores or public transportation without a mask. And on this mask, we have, it's just like the bracelets I've given before. There's a heart, which indicates you can, God is love, he loves you. Division symbol. We're separated from God and his love because of sin. But because God loves us, the cross, he sent his son. And the question mark, what are you going to do with it? So I left a few masks back in the section where the Ukrainian table is. And you can take a mask. There might be, I don't know, 10. So take one if you'd like to wear it. And they can be conversation starters. Because when I was at the airport in Kiev to fly back, there's an American man standing behind me. And they were complaining about the country. And they were only there for a week, but complaining. And so, I mean, after a while I listened to him complain, I said, well, let me share with you what gives me hope for the future. And then so went through the gospel. And so, like I said, some stores you might need a mask to get into, or also as you stand in line, people are under a lot of stress right now, and you can share with them what gives you hope, or what allows you to continue on. And right now, I'm obviously away from my team for a month, and we're working on online strategies, and a lot of the students that we work with, they're excited about it. Once again, we're using this Yocto, Who Am I strategy. And in August 22nd, 3rd, and 4th, we had a conference, a retreat for the students that my team works with, and we had 40 students. We had to be very serious about the quarantine. We took everyone's temperature every time we got together for meals. And we also had to tell a few people not to come if they had a temperature or coughing. So, because the government was making this camp follow health policies. But we had 40 people together. Actually, I completely forgot about the quarantine for 3 days, even though I was taking people's temperatures. But during this 3 days, our students, they came together. We were able to help equip them for the next semester. We were able to help them not to lose heart because of 5 months of being in quarantine, very hard to, so continue on, be motivated, and so we wanted to help them be motivated to keep serving the Lord. And so I ask that you'd also pray for Ukraine right now, because just like the U.S., there's the quarantine, and but pray for Sasha Zebrov as he leads the ministry. Pray for him and his team, my team, that God would give us wisdom, since it looks like things are maybe heating up as far as quarantine number of cases, but just for wisdom in the ministry. And pray also that for walks with God, that we'd be trusting God and being experiencing Him on a daily basis, and that He'd be renewing us on a daily basis. So I want to thank you for just being a part of my life, being a part of the ministry, and Sasha and his wife and the other staff, thank you for that. And just love you guys, and thank you for being a part of the ministry. Thank you.